prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflict and shed light on our path through the darkness of this world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
First reading is a reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 72 responsibly. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the little hills bring righteousness. He shall live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another. In his time shall the righteous flourish. There shall be abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more.
Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone has done.
And blessed be his glorious name forever. And may all the earth be filled with his glory. Amen. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, the 15th chapter. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and praise to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." And again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Why would someone want to be baptized? And I am shut up and I know that. I know.
know that. Because Santa is watching. Of course you have to stop eating bad and start eating good, because Santa is watching. Well, Santa isn't heretic. It's John, who shall felt that warning cry, stop eating bad and start eating good. Showing out into the wilderness of our lives is that call to change our minds. It's the real word, real meaning of the word, to change our minds. John called us to that transformation of baptism from faith to one who is to come. One who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his kingdom. He will baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This strange man in the wilderness called out for the transformation of our lives. This unlikely character turns the lives of people upside down. The people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were coming out of Egypt, and all along the way to Jordan, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, expecting their kingdom. We want to think about John the Baptist as one who came a long time ago and it's harder to think about John Baptist as one who comes into our lives today. It's harder to hear that word of repentance that was not just directed at Charles Goldstein of but as a word calling out to us today to change our minds. To transform our hearts and our spirits, to get ourselves in order, to be on that path, to incarnation of God. Isaiah paints a beautiful picture and image of peace and hope, what that means, what it looks like, that incarnation of God. The wolf shall lie with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the lion and the fat lady together and a little child shall be killed. It will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountains, for its earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, full as the body of the sea. Isn't that a beautiful image of peace and hope? And are we ready for such a world? Are we ready for such a revelation? That crying out message of John makes a claim on people's lives. You can't hear that message and remain the same. He invites us to remember our baptism, to hear those words of transformation and truth, to see again of the water of acceptance and empowerment. John the Baptizer is a crying messenger who changes lives that will never be the same again. Never the same. One spiritual writer said, as their children on the way to the manger must pass through the desert for dying. John Baptist preaching on the shores of the Jordan. We hearing that message, that call to transformation, there's no simply passing through. We can't pass by John this Sunday and next when we hear these words of John Baptist and not be challenged and transformed and changed. Invite us now to hear these words again, to remember our baptism, to remember what it was for our spiritual lives, plunging into the waters of baptism that work into life. Advent is no passive waiting. This is a time to remember that we are plunged into the waters of baptism and saved as he was. In the new member class of Jesus' book of college, a baptized he lived, but he was the good friend of the world, by the unknown Erlander. I know I've read these words in verse 4, but let me read it when he writes God's baptism. Through the water of baptism, God touches the weak and vulnerable part of his creation and says, yes. You are incorporated into Christ and into his body. You are initiated, adopted into God's covenant people. You are called, chosen, saved, born again. You are forgiven and are free to live without excuses. You are ordained, set aside to be a minister. You are marked with the cross of Christ forever. You are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism makes a claim on our lives. Because of baptism, we are Christians. Coming in water, God washed us and grafted us in Christ. And our identity is kept for the rest of our lives, for all of our days. Jesus' story becomes our story. Baptized into his death, we are raised to life as the body of Christ. I remember baptism a number of years ago when I was in South Dakota. Our family had come forward for baptism as infant in the arms of mother and 3.5-year-old in the arms of father. And all through the baptism, that little toddler kept reaching out and trying to get into his hands into the water. talking about in his pulpit. What can he do? There are women in our own country who borrow money to buy arms from people in that country who are starving. We might even ask that question of our own people. Some people think it's hopeless. But as Christians, we are a hopeful. It's part of our Christian DNA to be hopeful, to be filled with hope. If God's gift to you on your baptism, a sense of hope, the truth of hope, whether you came to the font as an infant, or a precocious toddler, or as an adult, we are given faith and love. Hope, especially when we see the bad, we remind ourselves of that gift of hope. The sign over Dante's Inferno, abandon hope, all ye who enter here. For Dante, hell is hopeless. There can be no hope in hell. And that's what we hear. In that tone from the words of Paul, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Completely the opposite of that. And to abound in hope in all joy. That word hope is a biblical term. It means trust in God's trust. Hope is trust that God is here and for us. It means to trust in God. To realize that God is in control of the future. God is in control of our future. To realize that God will not desert us in the weeks, in the months, in the years, in the centuries to come, that God will not desert us. Whether our future needs divorce or illness, joblessness, whatever our future needs, whether our future needs new homes, new children, new life, whatever our future is, hope is trusting that God holds that future. Hope is trusting that whether our future is bright or dark, it is God. That God holds us. Yesterday, I spent the day at the synagogue in the meeting, and walking down the hall a number of times, I noticed a poster hanging on one wall, and the poster says, I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds. That's what hope is. Hope is knowing who holds, not knowing what that future holds. Has God taken care of you in the past? Remember when your life was a mess? Remember when you were going through that terrible time? Remember when things were not so right? And everything seemed to come apart? Remember how God took care of you? Is God taking care of you right now? Some of us here have moments that are very serious. Some of us have messy relationships. Some of us have personal problems with depression. Some of us have deep loneliness in a way that we can't
Thank you.